For our scripture reading this morning, we turn in God's Word to Philippians chapter 4. Paul's epistle to the Philippians chapter 4. Word of God at Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. We read God's word that far. The text for the sermon this morning consists of verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the words of our text were written by the inspired Apostle Paul in order to guard against a misunderstanding on the part of the saints in Philippi. The possibility for that misunderstanding arose because of a gift that those saints had given to the Apostle. The time in which he wrote this epistle, Paul was imprisoned in Rome. And the saints back in Philippi were concerned about his well-being. They loved the Apostle. And so they sent to him a gift by the hand of one of the members of their congregation. We read of that in verse 18. Paul says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, that's the member of the church there in Philippi, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now having received this gift from those saints, the apostle sends this letter to them in order to express his gratitude for what they had done. He speaks of that in verse 10. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." And then immediately, he says what he does in verse 11. "Not that I speak in respect of want." The apostle is making a necessary digression here in order to guard against a misunderstanding that these saints might have. Didn't want them to think, first of all, that he was simply rejoicing because of the earthly things that he received. Rejoicing because he had all of these nice things. Rejoicing because he had a gift from them. And he also didn't want them to think that he was complaining about the circumstances of his life, complaining that he was in prison, complaining that everything was so difficult. And so after thanking them for what they had done, he says immediately to them that he doesn't lack anything. He doesn't stand in want of anything. Rather, he's learned in whatever situation of life, whatever the circumstances are in his life, he's learned what it is to be truly content. Beloved, are you content? Does that beautiful grace characterize you in your life? Does it characterize me? It's an important question for us to ask ourselves. It's the case partly because we live in the midst of a world of discontentment. We see and talk to the members of the world, and they might confess that they are thankful. Thankful for food, they're thankful for family, they're thankful that their sports team is doing so well. They're not truly content. They're not thankful to God because in their hearts they're not content with what God has given to them. We recognize that that's a temptation for us as well. We say that we're thankful. We say we have everything that we need and we trust in God, and yet in our hearts we can still be discontent with the circumstances of our life. It's an important question that we need to face throughout our lives. Are we living the whole of our life trusting in our God and satisfied with Him and with His will for us? Are we content with the circumstances of our life as God has ordained them? We recognize how difficult that is for us. That was something that the apostle had to learn. It was not always characteristic of him, but he says here that he learned to be content in every circumstance of life. That's something that we need to be continually learning as well. Notice that this is something that the apostle says with a note of certainty. It's not a wish that he expresses. It's not something that he desires, but he states a fact here. I have learned, in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. That's something that we can and we do confess. Not in our own strength, as the apostle says here, in the strength that Jesus Christ gives to us. And in that strength, we can and we do say that we have learned and we are learning to be content in every circumstance of our lives. Call your attention then to this text this morning under the theme, contentment in every circumstance. Notice first of all what it is. Secondly, how it is learned. And then finally, how it is possible. Contentment in every circumstance, what it is, how it is learned, and how it is possible. The apostle speaks in verse 11 to the saints in Philippi and says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Now, the question is, what is that contentment of which he speaks there? Contentment is a certain attitude that we have with respect to the earthly things that God has given to us and the external circumstances of our life. Although those things are numerous, they certainly include our money, our financial and material possessions, and the attitude that we have with respect to those things. But it includes a whole host of other things as well. It includes the way that we look, our body and our figure. It includes the various relationships in which we stand. It includes our station and our calling in the midst of this world. It includes our health, the health of our loved ones, and all of the various afflictions and burdens that we experience in this life. The wrong attitude, though, to those earthly things and to those circumstances is discontentment. Discontentment is the attitude of the heart where a man is not happy with the earthly things that he has. He wants more earthly things. He wants more wealth, for example. Or it's the case that he wants something completely different. He doesn't want the pain and the hurt that he experiences, but he wants to enjoy a life free of those cares and those worries. A man is angry with God. He harbors a bitterness toward God for all of these things that God has brought into his life. At the very heart of it, that man is not trusting in God. He's not happy with the circumstances of his life, and he's angry with God because he doesn't trust in God. He doesn't trust that God is going to provide for him. He doesn't trust that God has his best interest at heart, and God is going to give him what is good for him. Because he does not trust in God, then, he is not content with the circumstances of his life. It's that attitude, that sinful attitude, which stands opposed to the grace of true Christian contentment. But neither is it the case that we must mistake this contentment for simple satisfaction of our earthly desires and wants. Now, we're used to having everything that we need. We may not be wealthy. In fact, most of us probably are not. But we have everything that we need for each day. We have food, we have clothing to put on the backs of our children, we have a home to escape from the weather and from the heat. We have what we need. And it's easy for us to think then that since we have all of these things, then we're content. I may not be rich, I may not be able to go out and buy whatever I want, but I have all of my daily needs, and therefore, because of that, I'm content. That's not true Christian contentment. Contentment does not equate to simply having what we need. It's not dependent upon those circumstances of our life. But the question is then, what is this contentment of which the apostle speaks? True contentment, Christian contentment, the attitude of the believer's heart, whereby he lives at peace with God with respect to all of the earthly things he has. The child of God looks past the earthly. He looks past what's physical and what he can see with his eyes, and he looks to God. He recognizes that God is the one that he has given to him all of these things. They come from God's fatherly hand of providence and according to God's good pleasure. And recognizing that all of these things come from God, the money one has, the possessions, the health, the job, all of these things, recognizing that they come from God, the child of God then submits to God's will for his life. He's not angry with God. He doesn't harbor that bitterness toward God because of the circumstances of his life. He trusts in God. He knows that God can always be trusted. He's confident that God is good and that God in his great love for him is working all of these things together for his eternal good. that man is satisfied having God. He's satisfied then with God's will for his life. And that man who enjoys that peace with God, who's satisfied having God, that man he's constantly adapting the desires of his heart so that they match the circumstances of his life, so that what's found there in his heart matches exactly what he sees when he looks around himself at the circumstances of life. And therefore, that man doesn't want anything. He doesn't lack anything that he truly desires. That's what the apostle says here in our text. He says in verse 11 that he's learned in every circumstance of life to be content. And therefore, he says, I don't speak in respect to want. I don't lack anything at this time, even though I'm sitting here in prison and experiencing persecution. That's the experience of the child of God. That's our experience too. And we are characterized by that contentment. We don't lack anything. We don't desire anything different than what are the circumstances of our life and what God has given to us at that time. What a beautiful grace that is. Something beautiful to behold when we see it in another child of God, when we see that characterizing a life of another member of the congregation. We recognize the struggles that they're going through. We see the burdens that God has placed upon them, and yet we recognize that they're characterized by that contentment. They're trusting in God and satisfied with His will for them. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's a beautiful thing, too, for us to experience personally. When we look at our own lives, when we look at the circumstances in which God has placed us, we recognize that gift of contentment that He's given to us. We're not bitter and angry toward Him. We're confident of His love and His care for us and satisfied with what God has given to us. Although that grace is a beautiful thing to see in us, it's also something difficult for us. It's not easy for us to be content in every circumstance of life. That's what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing here. It's really the main thrust of the text. It's that we're to be content in every circumstance of life, so that our contentment is not based upon those earthly things that we have. The apostle speaks of that throughout the text. In verse 11 he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." And the same thing in verse 12. "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry." And he says also in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." The apostle is saying here to the saints that his contentment, his peace with God, doesn't depend upon the circumstances of his life. And he speaks there essentially of two different circumstances that we can experience in this life. On the one hand, he mentions the fact that we can experience great prosperity in having all of our needs and desires met. It says in verse 12, that he knows how to abound, he knows how to be full, he knows how to experience the joys of life in times when God has given to him a number of good things. And he mentions that too in verse 18. Using language that mirrors our text, he says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the gift that you've given to me." He knew what it was to experience prosperity. But he also knew that other circumstance of life. That's when he didn't have very much, when he experienced lack and poverty and want. That too is mentioned in verse 12. Speaks there of being abased, of being hungry, and of suffering need. The apostle was certainly familiar with those situations. That's plain from what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the apostle speaks there of all the afflictions which God made him to experience. He says, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one, thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. And on the list goes. The Apostle Paul knew those circumstances. He knew hardship and affliction. But he says here, my contentment doesn't depend upon that. When I have great prosperity, I'm content. I'm trusting in God and satisfied with Him. And my spiritual mindset doesn't change at all when God takes all of those things from me. When I experience want, when I experience hurt and persecution, I'm still thankful for what God has given to me. I'm still content with His will for my life. And that's what must be characteristic of us too. Our contentment does not depend upon how difficult or how easy our lives are. Because we too experience both of those circumstances of life. At times, we can experience prosperity. We can experience times where things are going well from an earthly point of view. And we can also experience times of great heartache and great sorrow and affliction. But in both of those circumstances, we are to be content. We're to be content when God gives to us everything that we need. That can be just as difficult for us as it is for us to be content when we don't have very much. We must not think that it's easier for us to be content and to trust in God when we have everything that we need for this earthly life. The temptation of our sinful nature is always to want more. We want more money. We want more power. We want more success. We want more of the things of this earthly life. It's never enough for us by nature. We're like a beast with an insatiable appetite for the things of this world. Or to change the figure, we're like a child, a young boy perhaps, that eats and eats and eats. We'd say that that boy has a bottomless pit. And that's the way we are. We're tempted by nature just to keep wanting and desiring more of the things of this life. When we have those things, it's still a temptation not to be content and not to put our trust in God, but to trust ourselves that we will provide and make sure that our families have all that we need. But there's another temptation when we have the things of this life and when we're prosperous. The temptation then is to trust in those earthly things. We don't want perhaps anything more. We're satisfied with what we have. We have everything that we need. Things are going well. We're not trusting in God still. We're trusting in the fact that we have those needs provided for. And that becomes plain the moment God takes all of those things away from us. He takes our riches, He takes our health, He takes our material possessions. Then we're angry, then we're bitter toward Him. And it becomes plain that we were not truly content and we're not trusting in Him. To be content when we have everything that we desire and everything that we need, when we're prosperous, we're also to be content when God takes all of those things away from us. To be content when God takes away a job, when He causes a business to fail, when there's a downturn in the economy. We're to be thankful and content when we don't have very many earthly things. We don't have a nice house, perhaps. We're not able to take the nice vacations that others are able to. Drive around an old car. We don't have the latest of technology, but we're still to be content. To be content with the way that God has made us. Content with the way that we look. Content with the body and the figure that God has given to us. Even if it's not like the body that we desire, like the body of the Hollywood stars that we see in the magazines, in the grocery store, or on the television. It's true for the younger women of the congregation. That's true for the mothers. Mothers with children, children that have perhaps taken a toll on the bodies of their mothers, are still to be content with all that God has given to them. To be content in the various relationships in which we stand. Content as a single member. Although we desire to be married, desire that God give to us a spouse, we're content in the way in which God is leading us. Content as married couples with the spouse that God has provided. We're content with that husband, and we're content with that wife that God has given to us. We're content also if God has not given to us any children. And there again, we desire that God give to us a covenant child. If God sees fit not to do so, we live still in peace with our God and with His will for us. We're content with the various callings and stations in this life in which God has placed us. We're content as an elderly member, even though it doesn't seem as if we have any purpose any longer in our families or any calling any longer in the church. Question whether God is even using us anymore, and yet we're still content in that position, in that station. Content as a mother in the home, carrying out the seemingly thankless work of caring for small children, doing the dishes, changing dirty diapers, all of those seemingly thankless tasks. We're thankful as a husband and a father, content in the place in which God has put us in the church, content with the job that God has given to us, even if it seems to us to be rather menial and insignificant. Thankful in the circumstances of life when we experience hardship and trials. Content, we're at peace with God. When God takes away our health, or God takes away the health of a loved one, we or one of our family members experiences a number of chronic health issues, has to go through a number of surgeries, and God has laid upon them the great affliction of the loss of their bodily health. We live in peace with our God. We're satisfied with Him. And all of the other trials and all of the other sorrows that God causes us to experience, when God takes from us a loved one, He rips from our side a beloved husband or a beloved wife. Our contentment does not depend upon the circumstances of our life. It's a certain attitude that we have with respect to all of those things, but it's not based upon those things. When we have prosperity, we're thankful to God and we live in contentment with Him. And when God is pleased to take all of those things away from us, He takes our health, He takes our wealth and everything else, we still trust in Him. We're still confident that He's providing for us. We're still satisfied with Him and with His will for our lives. But that's not easy for us. That's a hard thing for us to learn. It's hard for us to be content in every circumstance of life. It's hard when God takes those things from us. It's hard when God makes us experience sorrow and heartache to be content. That's why the Spirit says here that this is something that we must learn. It's a lesson that we need to be taught. That's something that the Apostle himself indicates that he had to learn. It says in verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Then he says also in verse 12, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, that word instruction, which the apostle uses there, is an interesting word. It really means to learn or to be taught a secret. The apostle says there, I've learned the secret. I've learned the lesson of contentment in every circumstance of life. Now that means that we need to learn that lesson too. We need to go into God's school, to sit down there at God's feet and be instructed by Him in the secret of true Christian contentment. That's a lesson that's necessary for us to learn because we live in the midst of a world of discontentment. It doesn't take very long when we look around ourselves and when we talk to the men and women of this world to see that they're not happy, they're not content with what God has given to them. We live in the midst of a world that's pleasure mad, that's money crazy and power hungry, continuously wants more and wants something different than what God has given to them. The whole advertising industry plays on this sinful inclination of our natures. You don't have this product, you don't have this service, you haven't gone and done this yet, you need to have this thing. This will make you happy. This will fill that void in your life. We live in the midst of an age and a culture of discontentment. We don't need to go and look out at the world and talk to them to learn about discontentment. All we have to do is look at ourselves. When you examine your heart, and when I look at my heart, readily apparent to us too that we have a sinful nature that is inclined to be discontent with what God has provided. We want something more, or we want something different than the circumstances of life in which God has placed us. By nature, we don't trust in God. We don't think that God has our best interest at heart and that God is going to give us what is good for us. We're angry and we're bitter toward Him. We trust in ourselves, or we put our trust in the satisfaction of our earthly lusts and desires. It's plain to us that by nature we are discontent and we need to learn this lesson from God. How do we learn that lesson then? How does God teach us? The Apostle Paul indicates to us by inference here and in other passages, how it was that he learned contentment. That's especially plain from what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the apostle speaks there of that thorn in the flesh, that unknown affliction that he experienced. And he says there in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and following, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The apostle indicates there, first of all, that he learned contentment in the way of his own hard experience. God caused him to experience that burden, that thorn in the flesh. Now, the apostle desired that this thing be taken away from him. God revealed to Paul that this was his will for the apostle. It was in that way, the way of experiencing that hardship, the way of that experience, that the apostle learned to be content with God's will for him. And then in the second place, he indicates in that passage that he learned contentment in the way of prayer and hearing God's word. When he desired that God remove that thorn, he went to God in prayer. Thrice he besought the Lord, he says. Cried out that God would remove that thorn from his flesh. Well, then God's word came to him. He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. It was in that way, the way of his going to God in prayer and the way of hearing God's word, that the apostle learned further the grace of contentment. That's the same way in God, which God teaches us that lesson. That's how we learn the secret of contentment. We learn it in the way of our experience. Certainly through the way of our experiencing prosperity and learning to trust in God then, especially in the way of our experiencing hardship and affliction. In those circumstances of life especially, God teaches us this secret. We desire that God roll this burden from off our shoulders, and yet God makes plain to us, this is my will for you at this time. In that way, we learn to submit ourselves to the will of our God. And He teaches us through hard experience to submit and to be content in every circumstance of life. We learn that secret also through prayer, by going to God, humbling ourselves before Him, bringing all of our needs before His throne of grace. It's just what the apostle describes for us in verse 6 of Philippians 4. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's the way in which we learn contentment. We're faced with those hard circumstances of life, when we're humbled under the heavy hand of God, and we go to God in prayer, when we trust in Him and bring our needs to Him, God teaches us this secret. And God speaks to us His word. He says to us too, my grace is sufficient for you in the circumstances of your life. And that way, in the way of prayer and going to God's word, God gives to us that grace of contentment. What a precious gift that is. Something that we constantly need to learn. Is that, beloved, something that you are learning? Is it something that I am learning? We are faced with those hard situations. God causes us to experience poverty and lack and want. Causes us to feel hurt and sorrow. Are we learning that secret? Or are we responding in bitterness and in anger toward God and His way for us? It's in that way that God teaches us to submit to His will. It's in that way that God teaches us in His school of experience the lesson, the secret of true Christian contentment. But perhaps you say, that's not possible. That's the ideal. That's the goal for which we aim. That's something that I will never experience in my life. It's impossible for me. Perhaps we justify that by looking at the words of the apostle here and saying that's simply His opinion, that was simply His experience. He knew what it was to be content, but that's something that I will never be able to experience. And we say, look at what He says here. He says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. It's simply what Paul experienced. And then in verse 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. It sounds real good. That's something that only the apostle would experience. Someone that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Perhaps we're tempted to think then that it's not something that is possible for us. We cannot be content in every circumstance of our lives. I can't be content when God has taken away my job and He's caused my business to fail. I can't be content with the heartaches and the sorrows that I experience. I can't be content in this sickness and disease that God has brought into my family. I can't be content with that husband. I can't be content living with that wife. I can't be content in the circumstances of life. And in a sense, that's true. We're right. We cannot be content in every circumstance of life in our own strength. If left to ourselves, we'd wallow in bitterness and in anger toward God and His will for our lives. We'd never learn this secret. It's only through the work of our Savior that we're able to say with confidence, and we're able from our own experience to say that we do learn the secret of contentment. And that's the case with the Apostle Paul here too. He's not boasting in himself. He's not saying that by his own strength he's able to raise himself up above the circumstances of life and to be content. But he makes that amazing confession in verse 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's Paul's confession, and that's our confession. It's only in Jesus Christ that we have the strength to be content in every circumstance of life. And that's the case because Christ has all power on heaven and on earth. That was God's gift to Jesus Christ. He experienced the greatest of humility in His suffering and His death on the cross. And then God raised Him to the greatest of glory by sitting Him down at His right hand in heaven. And there God gave to Jesus Christ power over all things. Jesus Christ rules then in that power. And Christ, the one who has this great power, is the one then who gives this power to us. He gives that power to us because we are in Him. That's really what the Holy Spirit says there in verse 13. He says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. We're in Jesus Christ. We're in Jesus Christ from eternity, when God chose us in His sovereign decree of election to be the body of Jesus Christ. And we were in Jesus Christ as He was hanging there on the cross, making atonement for our sins and our lack of trust in God. By faith now, every child of God, every one of us, is united to our Savior. By that inseparable bond of faith, Jesus Christ pours out to us His strength. The strength that's found in the head flows down to and courses through the whole of the body so that we receive the strength of our Savior. And in that strength, we're strengthened to walk in the salvation that He's given to us. We're strengthened to be content in every circumstance of life. We're strengthened to carry out the callings that God has given to us in this world. A tremendous, tremendous gift that God gives to us. What a blessing of our Lord and Savior and His salvation. That's not just the confession then of the Apostle Paul, but that's our confession. We must not think that it's impossible for us to learn this secret and to be content in every circumstance of life. We must never say that it's not possible for us to live out the callings that God has given to us as His people. We confess with the Apostle, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can walk with God in the strength that Christ provides. I can carry out the duties as a Christian that God has given to me through the strength which my Savior gives to me. I can be content. I can be at peace with God. I can trust in Him and be satisfied with Him and with His will for me through the strength which my Savior provides. That's your confession, beloved. It's my confession. Those are the words which the Holy Spirit has given us to speak this morning, so that we can, and we do say that we learn, and we are learning, to be content in every circumstance of life in which God places us. And that we can, that I can, personally, do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Give to us a rich measure of Thy Spirit and apply that Word to our hearts and to our lives, so that as we go about our labors here below, and as we face the various circumstances of life which Thou hast brought upon us, that we live trusting in Thee as our rock and our refuge and strong tower. Give to us the strength of Jesus Christ to walk humbly with Thee day by day. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our lack of trust in Thee. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.